That's connected with things that we did, and it's also connected with Munbazir. Maybe you've seen that. I think I gave that already. So after that, just comes a little piece on Shav Midiyaso, which is a very big topic, but we're not going to do it we're not going to do justice. So let me just give you a few things on that, and that'll bring us to Mahalech Hamidbar, which is the Samach Tesla base, and I'll give you a separate list for that. So Shav Midiyaso, all connected to these issues of how you define Shkaga. You have to also look at the Gemara in Chulin, that Hayamud Beis, and Rashi tells us in Chulin. The parallel Gemara is just to get a sense of it. In Horios, Beis Amid Aleph, and Yuma, Pei Amid Aleph, but especially the Gemara in Shavuos, Chavam Beis, Boi Minei Rabbeinu, until Al Shigigaso. And the Ravid in the Sifra, the Ravid in the Perishon Sifra on Vayikra, Dibur Dechova, Reish Perik Zayin on Shav Midiyaso. Very important line. The Rav Medukos Shavuos, Perik Gimel Halacha Aleph, and Hilchos Maaseh Korbanos, Perik Gimel Halacha Yud Dalet, Perik Gimel Hilchos Shkagos, Halacha Zayin, and the Mishnah Lamelech. It's a huge Mishnah Lamelech, but I just want to pick out one or two of the main points. Also, Tosis and Shavuos, Daf Yud Zayin on the base, Dibramasal E, and Tosis and Krisus, Yud Zayin on the Aleph, Dibramasal Safek Achal, the Rashi there as well, Dibramasal Achal, and I think that will suffice for now. Okay, so that's the plan. The plan is to finish Omer Mutter now, to begin Munvaz, Rabbi Yochanan and Rosh Lakish, which we already spoke of a little bit. We'll speak more fully about that. Then to speak a little bit more about Zadon Shabbos Shigas Malachos, and then to round that out with Shav Midiyaso, and then to go from there to Mahalech Bamidbar. Okay, and after that, then we'll just be doing some of the things that we've touched on already, but we have to fill in, like, Helam Zeh B'Zeh, other such issues, but some of the Gemara's already we've seen on Ayin Amid Aleph and Ayin Aleph Amid Aleph, so it should move a little bit to Ayin Beis on the base we've seen already. So there really isn't, there are some other important topics that will take a little bit of time, but there isn't anything that should slow us up that much till we get to Ayin Gimel, which is the Malachos and the Mishkan and the issues of Malachos Machsheva. So that's the general plan. Some people have suggested that we begin again the Monday Hashkafa Shir that we did last year, which is fine with me. I just couldn't do it today. We could do it next Monday. I think the Monday after that I might not be here, I think. And two Mondays after that I may also not be. But whatever Mondays I'm here, we'll do the Monday. And if not, maybe we'll switch it to Tuesday. But we'll try to do Monday. Monday's better than Tuesday? Is that the general consensus? Or? On Tuesday? Oh, okay. So then, so Monday at 12:30 will be the time. As for the content, last year we did Yud Gimel Ikarim. We got through, I think, three or four. Some people have expressed an interest that we continue. Other people have expressed an interest that we not continue. I hope that there's nothing against the Yud Gimel Ikarim, certainly. And I hope not against the discussions that we had either. But I think the sense was, A, that it was more connected to Sanhedrin, B, that they're very, very big topics, and sometimes to do them justice took a few weeks. So what you could do is speak among yourselves. You have a few days. If you want to continue with the Yud Gimel Ikarim, we can certainly do that. If you want to do either Avos, which is what we did a couple of years back, or if you want to do something on the Parsha, or you want to do selected topics. Again, when people tell me that there's an interest to speak about a particular topic, I try to do so. So, or we can intersperse them as we have in the past, just that the offer is not always taken up. Okay, so you could speak among yourselves and decide what you want to do, or what you want to focus on, at least, in that time. Okay, the other point was that I think Eliav mentioned to me that people were having trouble finding the Chiddush Aran on Shabbos's Kagu from Mechlakin. I don't have it here at the moment. Anybody have a Chiddush Aran? So it's the one Dibur Maskel HaYodea. I don't really know why it's so hard to find. Before I was in the basement, I looked at it. It's there. Hayodeh Shehu Shabbos, the Chiddush Aran, suggests that Shabbos is Kaguf Mechalkin are the equivalent of Yedios Mechalkos. Does anybody have it here? Okay, so again, it's I think it's there. You know, he doesn't say so many sentences, but unlike Rashi, who says that Shabbos is Ki Yedios are make Katzar V'Katzar into Katzar V'Tachan, and unlike the Rambam, who has an interesting requirement of Noteya and Mavrich and Zomer and so on, the Iran says that it's the equivalent of Zoreya and then having a Helem Ibn Atayim and having another Zoreya. Basically, he equates, instead of doing what the Rambam did, which was take Yomim Shebin Atayim Havn Yadiyah Lachalik and compare that to Gufin, what the Ran does is exactly the opposite. He takes Shabbos's Kagufin Machlok and then he compares it to Yomim Shebin Atayim. And he says it's the equivalent as if there was a Yediyah in between. Considering that we're talking about Shigas Shabbos, not the date of the week, and even the question of Yemei Heter Benatayim per se is a factor of Halamos according to the Rajbam, I think it seems pretty clear that he has a different Shita. That different, he doesn't say the words Havalei Lameda, but he does say that the fact that there was an intervening Shabbos makes it the equivalent of a Yediyah Benatayim. That's the round that I'm referring to. Again, I was told it was hard to find. I just looked for it like an hour and a half ago, and I didn't have trouble finding it. So, unless the issue is one of interpretation, which everybody's open to disagree with. Yeah.
I think it's in the Shiva Haran. Yeah.
In the printed Chiddush Haran.
I don't know if it's the version of the day.
I don't have
the Shiva Haran.
Okay.
That's where Rebbe refers to as the Talmud Haran.
It's the one I refer to as the Talmud Arah, but I think I said that in the Mar Makamos. Not this one, which is the... What is this?
This is
the real Chiddush Aran, mean the Ritva, the old Ritva. Okay, so that's the... Again, I think we said that. Maybe the confusion is some... When I give it a... When I tell you to look, you know, at a sefer, I'm usually referring to the printed sefer, but when I talk about the Shita, I often talk about the real person. I make a distinction between the book as published and the when I was giving credit for the position as you know, I don't say the Chiddush Aran, I say the Ran, then I would be talking about the real Ran, but maybe that's too subtle and we should correct that. Okay, so what I'm talking about is not in this sefer, which is really the old printed Ritva, which really is the Chiddush Aran, but rather what you just said is the Shita Laran, which I consider to be, I don't know if they know who it is or not, as far as I'm concerned, it's a Talmud of the Ra'ah, because it's very heavily influenced by the Ra'ah. I don't know who it is, but I know it's a Talmud of the Ra'ah, that's for sure. The affinity with the Ritva is much greater than with the Rajba for that reason, too. Because the Ritva, again, is more in line with the Ra'ah than Ra'ah and his brother, of Pinchas, you know, which is why Sefer Chinuch, the Ritva, the Rabbeinu Pinchas, the Ra'ah, Ravina Kreskes, they're a unit. That doesn't mean that they never disagree, but they are a very strong unit, even more so than the Ritva and the Rajba, when you have both. So what I'm talking about is in the Hayodeah Shehu Shabbos of the printed Chiddush Haran, which I consider to be the Talmud Arah. And that's what he says. He basically says that Yamim, he says that Shabbos is Kegufin, like Yom Shebein Atayim, is the equivalent of a separate halama, or as a yediya in between. And since there is no yediya for Shigigas Malachos, that's a remarkable statement. Okay, let's continue. We began yesterday with Omer Mutter. Again, clearly a huge topic. Eliav and Ephraim came in and asked me whether or not you have to read every word of the... Shuva Rav Chaim Bivalajan, so I think the word got out. If the people didn't see it yet, they're not going to spend more time on it. It's a very important tshuva because he really amasses all of the evidence. If you really want to learn the topic thoroughly, it's a good way to see all the sugyas and what can be done with them. Also, we don't have that many opportunities to read the tshuvas of Rav Chaim Bivalajan, and it's good to be familiar with the sefer. The tshuva is also reprinted in the Beis Halevi, in the back of Chelek Aleph. That's when Chelek Aleph finishes. So there are two or three tshuvas, at least two of them are tshuvas of Rav Chaim Bivalajan. One of them, is, I think the third one, is also that same tshuva reprinted. It's a long tshuva, But he discusses the Sheetz Rashi and the relationship between Rotseach, Rishkaga, and Karban. He has some interesting lines and some interesting suggestions, and he also links it up with the discussion of the Chumash Rajba and the Marik, and he discusses the relationship between Ramban and the Marik, which is a very important issue. So if people haven't seen it, you know, maybe I'll make one or two references to it, or maybe I'll just delete them that, but it's an important, important issue. In any case, that just shows you how big the topic is if you do all the sugyas in Sanhedrin and in Krisus and in Be'ilah and all over the place where Omer Mutter may come up. For our purposes, we're interested in a much more succinct discussion. So basically, what we've seen is that the Gemara here has a machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish on the one hand and Rav and Shmuel on the other, where the Tinuk Shenishba is chayiv a karban on Shabbos or not. That's the debate in the Gemara. And the Gemara associates the position of Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish with the position of Munbaz, who says that you do not bring a karban on such a case. Tinuk Shenishba does not bring a karban because in order to be a chote, so chote is linked to mezid as well, and just like a mezid requires idea, so too a chote for shogeg requires idea. That's what our Gemara says. The Gemara doesn't use the word omer mutter. The Gemara doesn't use the word anus. The Gemara just says that based on Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish, based on munvaz, have this view that in order to be a chote for purposes of korban chatas, you have to get to share something with mezid. You have to have some level of yediyah. That's all the Gemara says. That's undisputed in the Gemara. The question is the interpretation of that. So what we know is that Michael, what do we know? That Rashi.
Rashi holds that the omer mutter is equal.
Rashi says that according to Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, the reason that there's no karban is because onus. And that's the Rashi that we are familiar with. Then we also know another Rashi, namely?
The Rashi over in Makos.
Well, Makos and Makos is not so definitive. But Rashi and Krisus, as we mentioned yesterday,
okay.
Based on an Aleph.
That
it's
just a mistaken identification.
That Shkoga, which is Mechayiv Karban, is a mistaken identification, as opposed to a mistaken halakha. Again, that seems to be consistent, that Omer Mutter, a halakhic mistake, does not generate a Chiyuv Karban. So it would appear. Except that there Rashi has an exception, namely the case of Avodah Zarah. Although that's not Omer Mutter Lagamri, that's Omer Mutter, which is not Oker Kulo, but only Oker Miktaso. He says two out of the four Avodos are prohibited and two are not. Right? So even though he's Omer Mutter, meaning his mistake is a halakhic mistake, so again, if you didn't have that line in Rashi, one would have thought it was a shutout. In other words, any halakhic mistake is not going to be Chayav Karban. No, apparently Rashi somewhat qualifies. But in any case, Rashi increases. And Rashi and Shabbos seem to have something in common. Again, in that tshuva of the Rav Chaim Mivolozhin, he discusses that as well. Although in theory, one could have been mechalik between them. Here we're talking about a Tinuk Shenishba, who's even, you know, ignorant of halacha, kol haTorah kula, not just Hilchos Shabbos. And there we're talking about somebody who, there we're making the distinction between someone who is Oker Kol Gufo and only Oker Miktaso. In theory, one could have said either only Tinek Shenishba Legamri is in the category of an Anus, namely if his knowledge, if his ignorance rather, spills over into all areas of Halakha, then that has impact on his ignorance in this particular area of Halakha. But if he knows something, then his ignorance here isn't as compelling. One could have said that. One could say that. By the same token, one could say the opposite extreme, namely that any state of ignorance when it comes to any matter of halakha, as opposed to some physical mistake that you make, mistaken identification and so on, constitutes omer mutter, which is anus. In other words, on the two extremes, you could say you need tinuk shenishba b'kol haTorah kula to say this, or you could say that any omer mutter whatsoever, even miktaso, constitutes an ones le'inyan chiyuv karban. Rashi in Krisus doesn't go this way. If you just look at the possibilities of making the distinction, it's interesting to note that the Ramban in Makos, when he mentions the possibility that maybe Tinok Shenishba is different, so he emphasizes Tinok Shenishba. He doesn't make the distinction between, like Rashi and Krisus, between Kogufo and Miktsaso of the particular area. He just mentions, the im farshina like a gombatinik shenishba le ben agoyim he can remember Rabbi Yisavar to Rabbi Yochanan and Omar Potter afilu b'shar mitzvot kedisa hasa. So the that's the Ramban. If you look at the Ritva, when he makes this suggestion, so he says it like Rashi in Krisus. One second. O Tirtzu. The Hasam Mayri Bishena Oker Kalaguf. The Yad Al Shabbos Olav Adizara. Ude Kivase Le'ase Olo. O Betchumen Le Shabbos. Shima Marmuta Legamri Pater Mikarban. V'hoch Abin Lomar Shomuta Legamri Shein Yodev Ashumiser Kozol Pirish Rashi. So it's just interesting that the Ramban and Ritva, each attempting to justify Rashi's position, seem to draw the line. Again, it's hard to know what Ramban means, but he does use the example of Tinuk Shenishba. In any case, Rashi here says that Tinuk Shenishba is onus. We just don't know how restrictive that Tinuk Shenishba is in light of this Rashi and the Rashi in Krisus, or whether we'd even extend it beyond Rashi in Krisus. The problem with Rashi is, what do you do with the limud of Munvaz? And what do you do with the sugya in Makos? Right? Because the sugya in Makos, according to Rava at least, Rava says that that Omer Mutar is Karov Lemezid. And according to Rashi, Omer Mutar should be Onis Gomer. So Abaya is no problem. You know, the contrary, Abaya actually works out even better according to Rashi, because though Tosus reinterprets Abaya as Ones being Karov le, I'm sorry, as Omer Mutar being Karov Ones, the language of Abaya in Makos, unlike the language of Rava, is that it's simply Ones. Okay, so Rashi doesn't have a serious problem with Abaya, Rashi has a serious problem with Rava. Okay. So Rashi has a problem with Rava, and Rashi has a problem with Munvaz. Those are the two. Those are the two issues. And Rashi has another problem, and that is, what about the fact that we seem to paskin that Shenishba Lebeinu Akum is Chayiv a Korban b'Shabbos, right? And not only that, but also Bavada Zara and Bechela and Bedam. Etc. Right. The Gemara just explains that he's chayiv one karban for each and every category of offense. Chela, dam, avodah zarah, Shabbos. But that he's chayiv a karban seems clear in all these areas. How could that be, according to Rashi, if indeed Omer Mutar, or Tinuk Shenishba at least, is an onus? That's the problem, according to Rashi. Okay. So, so what's the solution? Yeah.
Is it clear that Abaye would argue on all those sugyas as well? Or
it's not clear at all. Okay, what do you want to say? Maybe he would.
I'm saying is it as much of a question on Abaye as it is on Rashi? Or
well, not necessarily, because you can always say that Abaye means karo of lowness, or that Abaye's halacha is limited to to galus. So Rashi says what he says in the context of karbanos, and Abaye we don't know.
I was just suggesting that
if you say that Rashi's shita is based on Abaya, so then the question becomes a problem for Abaya for Rashi, but this is the same as saying that it's a problem for Rashi. But in Abaya, objectively,
you can't say Abaya just argues on all those sugyas.
You could. I mean, you could say that for Rashi. Right. So basically, so one approach for Rashi will be, again, to maintain Rashi in his pristine form, Rashi really holds that Omer Mutter is, or Tinek Shanishba at least, and maybe even other Omer Mutters, is Onus. And exactly what Akiva just said. He'll say that it's based on Abaya. As for the question, well, don't we say that you're Chayiv Karbon? The answer is, who said that we paskin like Rav Shmuel? We'll say that Abaya paskins like Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. Again, it's foreign to us because, again, the Rishonim assumed not this way, the Maliposis. And the Rambam, as we know already, of Chicago's, paskins that Tinok Shanishba Lebena Goyim is Chayiv Achas for Shabbos, and Achas for Dam, and Achas for Chelev, and Achas for Bonazara. So we just assume that we paskin like Rav and Shmuel. It sounds that way in Mishnah, like we paskin like Rav and Shmuel. But it's possible to suggest that according to Rashi, Rashi holds that this, that you hold like Abaya, that it's Onus, and that indeed you're Potter. Of course, then the question becomes, but and how do you explain Rav with Shmuel? And if you can explain Rav with Shmuel well, so then maybe you don't even have to go that far in Rashi. Okay, so how would you explain Rav with Shmuel if you take this position? Shlomo? If you say really is Onus, Rashi meant what he said. So how do you explain Rav with Shmuel and Chaya? This is important. Ellie? Yeah. Who said that Anos is Pater Mikarbon? That's an important point. Meaning the Bali Tosis assumed it. Because Anos is Pater Me Onesh, right? The simple Naral is Asa Davar. And right, we know that there's no Chi of Onesh. So they assume this is no Chi of Onesh, there's no Chi of Karbon. But is it such a Davar Pashat? Is it such a number passion? Daniel?
No.
What?
No.
Why not?
I guess it kind of relates to when you do a mice of onus, what does that mean exactly?
Correct. It depends on two things, but that's one half of it. Go ahead, namely.
Meaning, do we look at, in terms of culpability, you're not culpable, so therefore, it's as if you did nothing? Or is it that, in reality, you did a mice of errors, so we still relate to you as having done a mice of errors?
Right. In other words, is onus a p'tur, onus and kol Torah kula, is it a hafgas maisa veira? Or is it a p'tur onesh? If it's a p'tur onesh, then you still have to say one more thing. Yoni? What other thing do you have to say? In order to say this for Rav Shmuel. But you have to explain why you're kind of karma. So you say, number one issue is onus considered a maisa veira? Good. If we assume that in Onus you did the action. So the question of whether it is or isn't an action, that's a huge topic. We learned Ksuvos a couple of years ago. We spent a lot of time on that, right? The Yerushalmi's formulation. Onus Keman, is Onus Keman de Ovid, or Onus is Keman de Lo Ovid. Doesn't matter whether it's Kumbase, whether it's Sheval Tase. Huge issues, the Rambam and Ramban. Is there a separate Mitzvah Saseh to tell the Dayanim, you know, that you shouldn't impose onshim on a maisa ones? Ramban says, well, what do you need that for? It's not a maisa avera, right? Well, anyways, the details we'll leave out. But the discussion between the Rambam and Ramban in Sefer Mitzvot, on that point, the Rambam also in Yad HaChazaka, in the Sanhedrin, the Rambam says that there's a special azhara to dayanim, not to be manish shaba ones. Okay, so there's a huge issue. What about in Tznaim, a Tznai bonus? That's a Suga bonus, but Tznaim that we discussed in the beginning of Ksuvah, so those were here. So whether or not onus is considered a Maisa or not is certainly a very important issue. But everybody agrees on Laura Lasas and Avar, namely that this Tur Onesh, yeah?
This is not a Onesh.
Exactly. So the second thing, which I think you were hinting at, but you have to say it more clearly, is that the second assumption is that a Chatas is not an Onesh. What is it?
It's the default,
I guess. Oh, I don't know about the default. I would say more positive terms.
Result, it's just a,
instead of seeing it as an onesh, one should see it as a kapara.
Well, you need a kapara for an onesh, though.
So if you did the maisa, Well, let me ask you something else. Do you do tshuva for an ones? Yeah. Michael?
Maybe the karma is not for using nice, the karma would be for just for nice having been done.
Okay. Well, again, if it hadn't been done even, if it was a maisa kof bialma, are we allowed to say that? If it was a maisa kof bialma, then it wouldn't require tshuva even for the principle. What you're saying is, maybe the gavra is totally not culpable, but the fact is that, you know, al yado nasa maisa, right? Good, right. That's a big issue in Nisasek and Ones. Namely, is it a disembodied Maisa? Is this Maisa Mitzur? Is it a problem that there's no Maisa? You could say there's no Maisa. You could say there's a full Maisa and there's a Ptur Onesh. Or you could say it's a Maisa that took place, but it's not Mitzurah to him. A similar question has to be raised with respect to what other issue? Not Ones, but?
Sorry, I had a question.
Yeah.
Or can't Rav Shmuel distinguish between the Ones of Hirshanishpa and the Ones of Lanara and Losasa Gavar?
In theory, they could. I'll get that in a minute, too. Absolutely. I'm saying, even if you say that Ones here means what Ones means in Kol Tavar Kulo, in what sense? In the physical mice are being coerced, you're saying?
No, more in the sense that the Hirshanishpa also had a fear of Olmat Telusa, Oshmat and Asusa, even if he didn't know it.
Okay, but we're saying it's Ones here.
Right,
so you're saying even if the and so then you're making the distinction between the physical maisa and the legal mistake, as opposed to Lenaro the Sasadava, where
somebody actually picked the person up and used their body.
Yeah. Okay. That's in other words, in one case one is physically coerced to do something, one is not in control of one's physical activities. In the other case, my ignorance is responsible for my actions. That's the distinction you want to make. Absolutely. That's absolutely correct. The classic case of Olenara, Sasa Dabar, is a case of physical coercion, of course. The question is, that goes to the point, when we say Ones, when we say Omer Mutter is Ones, we don't just say Omer Mutter is Pater or Mutter, so do we really mean to equate those two things? That's part of the question. So, for example, let's say you thought that something was a Dvar Heter and it wasn't. Right? So, not a Shkoga, but an Ones. Do you make this distinction? Would you distinguish between Ones B'Shev Al Tas, Ones B'Kum Baseh? That could be another distinction that people make. Well, where else does this issue come up?
Shlichus.
Okay, maybe, but something closer to home. Yehuda? Okay, Mitzvah Shlichus Kavana is, I think, closer, but a specific halachic term, which may be the idea of Mitzvah Shlichus Kavana. Not Mitzvah Shlichus Kavana, just Mitzvah Shlichus Kavana or Dom Shin Biskavit? Okay, well, Mitzvah Shlichus Kavana you could say too, actually. You could say Mitzvah Shlichus Kavana, but what? Misasa. Yeah. What is the relationship between Mitzvah Shlichus Kavana and Misasek Basias Mitzvah? Like the Gemara's language in Rosh Hashanah Daf Kof Kes, which is what you're referring to, right? We say, Hasam Achol Matzah V'Ha'achal. Ha'achal, we discuss it before Rosh Hashanah, right? The Yom Trua V'Ha Misasek. Okay. So the concept of Misasek, the relationship between Ones and Misasek. Ones and Misasek both border Shogeg. Both of them are generally, it's assumed by most people that both of them are Pturim and Akarva. With respect to both of them, the question arises, are we talking about Pturim or Hafkos? And what Michael suggested a minute ago, which was that there is something in between saying that there's no Maisa, or that there's a Maisa, a full Maisa, and a Pturonish, and that is what's called the disembodied Maisa. Namely, the maisa was done mitzad a maisa, mitzad a cheftza, but not mitzad this gavra. This gavra is not mitzurah to this maisa. So that's an issue in Ones, and that's also an issue in Misasek. In Misasek, we'll get back to it later on when we get to the ayin base. We'll speak about Misasek of Kol Torah Kula as opposed to Misasek of Shabbos, and the famous tshuva of Rabbi Kiveger, and the Makor Chayim. That's a whole huge literature on Misasek. And it's connected, of course, very much to, you're correct, and it has a link to Mitzvah Shlichus Kavana. But what I meant was, it's connected very much to Dovr Shein and Miskavi also. some perspectives on Darm Sheni Miskaven is that Darm Sheni Miskaven is a form of Misasek. So these are very parallel issues. So the point is just to get back to Michael's point a second ago, again, if, let's say, of the three ways, if nothing took place here because Al Pidin and Maisav Ones Lo Shma Maisa, and again, with keeping in mind what Ephraim just said, which is the classic case of Nara Sasa Davar is when physically you're not in control, you're being used for something. Okay, but if we're assuming that this onus and that onus have something in common, it's the same halakha, it also comes under the rubric of Lenara Lasasa Davar. So basically, it's hard to understand why there would be any need for kapara or for tshuva. There would also be no need to tell Beis Din, make sure that you don't implement onshin under these conditions. There's no point. Nothing took place. There's no onesh to give. If you don't tell Beis Din not to implement onshin when nothing happens, okay. On the other hand, if something did take place, not only take place, the other extreme, you did it, the only thing is that you're a potter. Oh, this is a ptural. Narali Sasa Davar is understood by some Rishonim as a ptur as well, as I mentioned. That's why the Rambam tells the Beis Din not to implement the onesh, because in theory you could. Even in situations where physically you're not in control. So if that takes place, so is there Maisa Veira? The answer is yes. Is there some concept of tshuva and kapara? Very possibly. In when it comes to al chet that we say on Yom Kippur, do we include onus or not? Exactly, onus v'ratzon. So we do. In Hilchos Tshuva, it's an issue. The Rambam in Pirshei Mishnayos in different places discusses this problem in Yuma and other places. It's an open question. There's a lot of mixed evidence. Whether there's an obligation of tshuva for maisa onus, even if there isn't an obligation of tshuva, whether it's a kiyum of tshuva, again, some value in saying al chet. And if certainly we take the middle view, then it's very confusing, right? Maybe I didn't, I'm not responsible for this chet, but in the sense that something took place which, again, this has a lot to do also with the philosophy of chet, right? If I'm not directly culpable, but a chet takes place, does it need a kind of a tikkun or a kapara? Okay. So without going into too much detail, I don't want to go into the ins and outs of ones. The point is that according to certain perspectives on ones, if we were to say that the korban is not primarily an onesh, but an opportunity of kapara, of tshuva, so it wouldn't be inconceivable to say that onesh is mechayev, a korban. And if that were the case, then we could say that according to Rav Shmuel, onesh indeed is, I'm sorry, Tinuk Shenishba is indeed onesh, just like it is for Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. They don't argue about that point. And it even is the onus of Nara Lasasa Davar, let's say. However, the machlokas is whether it requires a kapara or not, which is a machlokas either about the karban, whether it's primarily onus or kapara, or about onus, whether there is a maisa veira, there's not a maisa veira, right? Or maybe Ephraim's point is correct, whether this onus is the same as that other onus, whether we make the distinction or not. From that point of view, though, there could also be other distinctions, right? Not only between a halachic ones and a physical one, but also between actions that are kumbase and sheva al kase, right? Which we find with regard to misasek, as I was making reference to regarding Makar Chaim, but we'll get to it when we get to it on Ein Beis. Kumbases and sheva al kase. That's an issue. Not only do you have the parallel of that in Misasek, but you have it also in the context of Onus B'tnai, the Sugi and Ksubas, and in Gittin. And that's a good self. Whether or not we distinguish between Maisa B'Kumbase or Tanai B'Kumbase B'Shev Al Tasa may make a difference. There also may be a difference between one other group of halachos, namely, anybody with a Suvas memory will know this, but even if you weren't there, it is a general idea. Yona, you were around at Suvas here? You were there. You were fully responsive. Okay, what other distinction is important? Yaakov? Moshe? Okay, physical onus, not physical. Kumbase, Sheval, Tasa. What else? Very important. Tzvi? Okay, that already goes under the same. What do you mean by that? Okay, that would come under the question again of what kind of maisa is it? I would say more. But what?
An element of Chol Hashem is
close. Okay. No, okay, maybe. I mean, that's like Marikimi. I don't see so much. What Elikai is saying, I think, is more likely. You're saying, if there's Chil Hashem, then what?
Then, if there's Chil Hashem, you can't erase the Maisa.
You mean impact-oriented things as opposed to Maisa-oriented? Maybe. That's another distinction that could be made. I was thinking about something more legal, but that is a good point. Ari?
Hano.
Well, Hano would be similar to what Elikai is saying, where there is, just like in the Sasek, right, the Chalav Marayas Shekeinene, so here too, if you're talking about Siruf, right, these are all, you're absolutely right. I mean, these are all conditions that will dictate whether or not the Maisa Ones is considered at least a Maisa Vera Mitzuruf to you, or completely either disembodied or didn't take place at all. That's true. I mean in a broader sense, a category in halacha. Yeah.
Whether or not you're responsible to...
Ah, excellent.
...find out
if
you're on
somewhere. Oh.
You're responsible to know the halacha that you're on.
Okay, you mean Havalei Lameda?
Or is it that you're able to avoid the mess?
Okay, I mean, if you have these obligations to begin with, it's a Havalei Lameda. Okay, that's not what I was referring to when I thought you were saying, but it's okay, that can be a factor. Categories of halacha, though, a group of halachos. Anybody? Exactly. Why? Any halacha of Yehari Vayavar? Why? Because it's not clear that there's a pter onus there of Olnar Sasadavar either. Right? In other words, if you have the chiyuv of Yehari Glayavar, okay, I guess we'll touch on this again because this comes up on Ayin Beis a little bit. But if you have the chiyuv of Yehari Glayavar, so the question is, in Avar, below Neharag, is there a pter onus of Olnar Sasadavar or not? That's a huge machlokes harishonim. Right? The Rambam and Ramban say that there is. I mean, the Rambam in Hilchos Yesod HaTorah Perek Hey says that Olnar L'Sasa Davar and other psukim that he quotes applies under those conditions. Even though, and by the way, that's not a physical, for the Rambam at least, those are not cases of physical onus, as a case where, again, somebody puts a gun to your head and he says, that's also different, right, than actually physically being forced to do something as opposed to being coerced to actively do something. So the Rambam says in those cases there is a p'tur of onus, and the Ramban also holds that way. But the Chiddush Haran in Shabbos and the Chiddush Haran in I'm talking about printed books now in Sanhedrin, neither of which are the Ran. Okay, we don't know who the Chiddush Haran in Sanhedrin is, although we're very grateful for his efforts. Sanhedrin wouldn't be the same without him. As for the Chiddush Haran and Shabbos, he certainly made an important contribution too. But as it happens, both of these books have this shita, together with some other Rishonim, which is that the halacha of Anos, Rachmana Patre, or Laos, Salsadavar, doesn't apply when it comes to Yehari Vayavar. So it's quite possible that even if Anos, and that's why it could be the Ramban in his discussion, the Rambam, discussion between the Rambam and the Ramban about whether or not there's a separate Iser for the Dayanim to impose punishments, Ba'onas or not, well now the Sasa Davar, you know, one way out of it is that the Rambam happens to speak about that in the context of Arizara and the Gimel Averos, the Rambam of Sanhedrin, and in Sefer Mitzvahs. So it's quite possible that Dafka, in those cases, the Rambam thinks that there's an Azhara on the Dayanim, because since it's a Chiyuv, Yehari Vayavar, so it's hard to say that it's not a Ma'isa Aveira. So there's really a dual question. A, there are some Rishonim who think that there is no Ptur Ones, an Onshim level. In other words, if you violate a Varazara, Ba'ones, you're Chai, the death penalty. That's a group of Rishonim. The Yireim, the Ramach, as I mentioned, the Chidush Aran here and there, whoever they are. One is in the line of the Ramban and the Banfield, the other in the line of the Ra. That's one issue. And even if you don't go so far, and you say that, like the Rambam and the Ramban, and most Rishonim, really two days in Bali Tosis already, the truth is. Even if you say the majority view of the Rishonim, which is that just because you weren't able to meet the challenge of Kiddush Hashem, nonetheless, you still are Potter, Mishum Onar Lesasadav, or Hanusach Manapach. But still, you might argue that it's still different. In other words, in Kol Torah Kula, it's not even a Ma'isa Aveira. Here, since this is a Chiyuv, Yehari Vayavar, there's no excuse of Ones. So there may be a Ptur, but there's no excuse, there's no Heter. So even if in Kol Torah Kula, it's not even a Ma'isa Aveira, here it is a Ma'isa Aveira. Okay. So the point is that even if you were to agree that Ones, well, why am I telling you all this? Even if you were to agree that Ones is included, it's entailed by Tino Chenishba, we can still understand Shitas Rav Shmuel who say that there's a Chiyuv Karba. Because it's quite possible that there still is a Ma'isa Aveira and it's only a Ptur Onesh, or at least that could be true in some areas of Halacha. So this is the approach, interestingly enough, of... anybody see? The Pnei Yoshua,
which I'm certain that I signed, right?
I assigned it because I thought it was a very interesting piece. Pnei Yoshua says Rashi holds, again, he doesn't speak about all of this, but he succinctly says pretty much. Does Rashi really holds what we think he holds, which is that this is Anus, and this is the Anus of Kala Tarakula. Yeah.
Just going back to the last book, but Rav and Shmuel were talking about Shabbos, which is not Yehari Vayavar.
Oh.
So if you said there was only a Ma'isa Aveira by...
Correct. So that's where the Pnei Yoshua takes a little more license. So the Pnei Yoshua, I'll read it to you in a second. So the Pnei Yoshua says, one might have thought, he says it only in the form of a Habamina, but it's interesting. He says, one might have thought that Shabbos would be like a Barazara, since it's Kofar B'masa Bracious. So, although I would tend to agree with you, that doesn't mean that it's, no one ever said that it was Yehari Vayavar.
And the Gemara in Machlis is about Yehari Vayavar.
The Gemara in
Machlis.
Mikas Rotzeach. Yeah. But, so basically the Pnei Yoshua says as follows, that Rashi really holds that this is Anus, and it's Anus of Kol Torah Kula, and Anus Rachmana Patre, and therefore, if you pass it like Abaya, then in Okanami there is no Chiyuv Karban for this Anus. As for Rav Shmuel hold that there's a Chiyuv Ba'onus, a Chiyuv Karban Ba'onus. Very big Kiddush. Why? Because why not? Kapara. But once you're saying that, he says that's the pshat in the Gemara later on, when the Gemara says chayev al dam achas, chayev al chelav achas, chayev al avad zara, chayev al Shabbos. So the question is, Tosas asks the question: why did the Gemara have to mention dam and chelav once they said Shabbos and avad zara? Right. So we know that there are two or three answers to that question already. Right, Bali Tosa say because of the Havamino of Rabbi Yoshua Tamchuin Machalkin, the Tosa Sarash and the Mari Kurkis and others say because one would have thought that Kol Torah Kula, you know, is one unit, and obviously the father of the Abnezer was impressed with that idea too. That was his. He said, "Yeah, if Shkogos is Kovea, then that should be the case, right?" Or the more moderate view of that, which is that Chelev and Dam appear in the same pasuk, so it's at least one pasuk that you made a mistake about. So the Pnei Yeshua has another answer to that question. He says, "What was the Havamina of the Gemara? The Gemara thought that just because Tinuk Shenishba is Chayev for Avodah Zarah and for Shabbos doesn't mean that he's Chayev for Chelev and Dam. Why? Because Tinuk Shenishba is an Anus, even according to Rav Shmuel. And if you're an Anus, then you should be Pator." One would have thought that you'd be patur lekarbon. Aye, so why you chayv mishum avodah zarah and mishum Shabbos? Because avodah zarah is one of the gimel averos. He says, and you're chayv lihareg velo labor. Not only that, but it's even a ben noach is obligated. So what do you mean you're a tinok shenishba? This is a different point. What do you mean you're a tinok shenishba? You're a tinok shenishba. Even when you were ben noach, you had this obligation. I guess that would come into the category of what you said before about Havelei Lameda, or what Aaron said, I think, was Havelei Lameda. Certain things are so Havelei Lamedas, right, that you can't, ever consider them to be onus. That's kind of, you're right, I mean, that's one line of the Pnei Yeshua. I'll read it inside in just a second. Moreover, he says, and, you know, whatever you want to say about being a ben noach, when you cross the Rubicon from being a ben noach to being from having Kedushas Yisrael to being Nichnas Tachas Chanpe Ashkina, at minimum, right, as Ephraim pointed out last week, whatever you want to say about Shabbos, but at least when it comes to Avodah Zarah, you have to know what does it mean to be a Jew and to continue to cling to your Avodah Zarah based on Tinuk Shenishba. That's completely anti-definitional. That you certainly can't say. So the second that you become a Ger Shenis Gayer, even if it wasn't true for a Ben Noach, the idea that you can be Anus, L'inyan Avodah Zarah, that's just completely absurd. There can't be such a thing. So when it comes to Avodah Zarah, for all of these three reasons, Yehari Gvayavar, the status of Benoach, the difference between Benoach and Israel, it's just inconceivable to say that you would be Patur Minakarban because Omer Mutar Anus Tinuk Shenishba. If you're going to say that already, he says, so then maybe you would have said it with regard to Shabbos as well. Even though Yaakov's questions are, he's just explaining Havamina. But you would have said it with regard to Shabbos as well. And maybe that really is the pshat, let's say, at least for Rav and Shmuel. I'm sorry, for Rav and Shmuel. No, for Rav and Shmuel. Yeah. Why? Because the comparison between Shabbos and Avodah Zarah. Okay, that's what he says here. Lulei divrei atosos ha'inir lel yashiv, higup ha'instrich l'nisne, apagab lohaya via klal, v'shum mitzvah, imken kol ha'mitzvah skulan kehel ha'nechad etzlo, v'od, omer mutar onusu, v'kasol kadaita tepata kedefrishas, v'davka akum kamer rabbanon, d'chayiv, kibin d'onus nami chayiv, v'od, v'shum zayin mitzvah b'nei noachu, afilu ger tosho b'nei rag, al shahayu lel lilmod v'lo lamad, like Aaron said, right? The Havelei Lameda. No excuse. Kolchkin begershin is gayer, the ikar agerus who lifrosh meakum. That's a very interesting piece. Kolchkin to hayol lilbo. The mehen time efshanami the mechayv rabbanon carbon al shmir shabbos shem the shabbos kamira kaakum kedisa breish kulin. But oh, this is also interesting. It would also work with Aaron's point. The efshar the drasha the shmir akas the shabbos is harbe lo mashmul rabbanon al bekay gavna betinik shenishba. Meaning, it's a Havelei Lameda on Shabbos alone. That's what Shmira L'Kol HaShabbosos means. Vim came b'chela b'dam, hava mina d'pata mishum anus, k'mashma l'afil achi chayiv, even though he is anus. Afil achela b'dam, hainu kifrishis, da anus ki hai ein l'pontro kol kach mikarba, mishum d'kapara mia boy, came nearly. So this is exactly what he suggests. Again, in the previous piece, he also says it. Second. He talks about munbas. So he says, you know, some farshim explain that, you know, that Rav and Shmuel who hold like munbas, I'm sorry, Yochanan ben Shlakish who hold like munbas, happened to hold his shita, but for a different reason. After all, munbas quotes this hekesh, and all they say is, you know, that you need to be ikri chote. So Pnei Yeshua says, no, I don't think that's correct. I think that Munbaz himself has two dinim, and he needs both of these limudim. One to teach you that a chote has to have an element of mezid in it, and secondly, to teach you the hekesh. Why do you need the first? So he says, again, because otherwise one would think that even though you're onus gamor, like Rashi says, then nonetheless you should be chayav b'karban. Pasha the highlish of the whole amazing karichote mashum shezat tam ba'atzmai who mishum the tinuk shenishba onusu. Olo shayich l'mikre chote the onus rachmana patre ol nara l'sasa davar. The eilecha onus gano mitinuk shenishba begershin is gayer. The ma'isu l'mevet kivin shlohay olam yediyah me'olam. Miu, he loved Ashkan, the Mesa Dami, Bikakote, Imkain, Sulo Havamashman, the Chota, Lemute Anus, El Adaraba, Lemute Mesa. Imkain, I the F Shalom, the Tinik Shanishba, Chai, the Carbon, Alpagav, the Onus Rachmana Patre, Hainu Kigon, Misa, Omalkis, Umamon, of the Carbon, F Shadachiv Kapara, Miabai. Kida Ashkechan lekushta the milsa drabanan to bechayiv likarbon afagav the anasu. Behind him, high time a gufa b'shemach itzrich munbas lasuye raya whole amazed kori chote to teach you that it's not so that just because karban is a kapara. Nonetheless, you still need a level of yediyah and anas gamor is not enough. Miu Rabbi Akiva damalei the munbas ma amazed chayiv yediyah b'shas maisa. Asa gadaita de munva zaka al korch lava hai tam ala chunda on the sun. Deshut hai tam ala hava mahani ala potra mi korban ba'aku. Says on the other hand, Rabbi Kiva didn't read munvas that way because he felt that munvas halacha applies to akum as well, and in akum you're not going to say that there's a p'tur on us. So hai kordal nal is asa davel shayich ba'akum. Kaimel niharik val yabar. Afilu misa ikalaman damar dechayv afilu ba'ones. Later on. Shemachi Abmashim or Bekiva, the Tamid Munva, Zayim Bishim Dislay Hekesha. So basically, to sum up, Rashi holds Omer Mutter is, or Tinek Shanishba is Onus. The question is, what do you do with Rav and Shmuel and with all the other Sugyas? The Pnei Yeshua is suggesting, I don't know if you need to go as extreme as him, but in some of the points, but at least in the broad outlines, what it could say is that according to Rashi, according to Abaya, it really is anus. As to whether you're chayiv b'karban or not, if you hold like Abaya, and you hold like Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, then in Ochanami, you're pater min a karban. And the situation that we find in Galus, which is that you're pater min a karban, is exactly the same as the situation regarding Karbanos. On the other hand, Rav and Shmuel and the other Gemaras that imply strongly that there is a chiyuv, even in the case of Tinuk Shanishba, it's not that they don't believe that Tinuk Shanishba is Anus, it's that they do believe that Anus is Chayiv, the Karban Mishum Kapara. That's his suggestion. I think it works out nice. In light of his explanation of the Halamin of Tosis and other things, so if you're going to take this tactic, so then there just might be other distinctions to make along the lines of the distinctions that he makes here. And that is Havle Lameda, Lo Havle Lameda, where the focus is on the effect as opposed to the Maisa. You gave the example of Chil Hashem, there could be other things. Gimel Averos, as opposed to other areas of halacha. In theory, once you accept this view that onus is chayiv in certain karbanos, mishum kapara, and it's even though it's Pater Mimalkus and Mimisa and so on, so then once that becomes the issue, so in theory you could accept it partially, depending on all sorts of chilukim, different types of anos, different averas, different types of averas, etc. Okay. That's one approach. According to that approach, there's no need to distinguish between Malkus, between Rotseach and Galus, and Karbonus. That's also clear. Okay. This, of course, was not the approach of the Baalei Tosfos. But again, according to this approach, Munvas also, at least Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, who hold like Munvas, are also operating within Chinik Chinishba, Ptur Anus. Okay. Baalei Tosfos did not accept this view. Their own view was, Yoni? Even Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, who are based on Munvas, are not, and Munvas and Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are not Midin Anus. So what is it, Midin? Midin the Hekesh, or Ikri Chote, and so on. Now the question that one could ask, Yoshua. Was Yoshua back there? There it is. The question one could ask is there really such an enormous difference between Tosis and Rashi in the end of the day? I mean, does it really matter whether, I mean, obviously it does a little bit, but we just have to pinpoint what the issue is. Does it really matter whether we say Tinuk Shenishba is an onus, or Tinuk Shenishba doesn't have enough yediyah to be considered a chote? Yeah, in a sense, one could have argued, if you step back and you think about it, one could argue that it's really kind of seems like largely a matter of semantics. What difference does it make whether I say that he's an onus, or I say he's not sufficiently, he doesn't have sufficiently to have das chote? In both cases, what I'm saying is that shogeg has to be closer to mezid than to onus, in a way. I'm just not using the term onus. Okay, so what difference does it make? Yeah. Exactly. So it's quite possible that maybe what motivated Tosis here to make this distinction with a drum roll, in other words, I'm not saying onus. Tosis wanted to get away from the connotation of the term onus and its implication in Kol HaTorah Kula. Maybe the Baalei Tosfos really didn't like, we're not even willing to consider the possibility that the Pnei Yoshua for Rashi suggests, which is that onus could be chayev korban, based on boi kapara. In other words, for them, olanaro lasasa davar really means hafka samaisa. When you say onus, it has a certain meaning. And if that's the case, so what they end up saying is something very similar, but conceptually different. Namely, there's a ptur gavra here because he doesn't have sufficient yediyah, but that has nothing to do with anus, because anus would be affecting the maisa. This is about the kabana sagavra, not the legal maisa. I'm not entangled with the lanar lasasa davar and with the sugev anus pitnai and with all those gemaras anymore. And the idea of anus ever being chayav karban is excluded. So I think in the end that's an important issue. In line with Pnei Yoshua, we can perhaps better appreciate, and not what he says, but the issues that he raises. Agav, he doesn't talk about Ptur Gavra and other things, but that's implicit. We can appreciate what Baalei Tosfos are doing to avoid it. Okay, now, but of course, according to the Baalei Tosfos, the other side of the coin is that what emerges is a distinction between Rotseach and Karba. Rotseach Begalus and Karba. Again, for Rashi, it's conceivable that there's no difference whatsoever, except for Rava. That's the only thing Rashi is left with difficulty is to explain why Rava thinks that Tinek Shanishba, which is normally considered to be an ones, is Karav Lemezid. But the truth is, let's analyze that for Rashi too. Is that so terrible? Well, number one, as Yaakov pointed out, not more than 10 minutes ago, Yaakov, Rotzeach is one of the Harig Valyavos. Right? So that's number one. If you're going to operate with the Pnei Yeshua's idea, again, you can operate with the idea, but without some of the additional applications. But if your Harig Valyavos is relevant to the application of Ones, so one could argue that Dafka, when it comes to Rotzeach, Ones is that's the view of Rava. Maybe we didn't pass it that way when it comes to Rotzeach. That the Dafka, when it comes to Rotzeach, it could also be Mechalik, by the way, between Rotzeach and Avodah Zarah, clearly. Even from that point of view. There are different types of Yehari Vayavors, remember. Elichan mentioned Chil Hashem. Okay, we'll discuss it very briefly when we get to Daf Ayin Beis, because we discuss it much more extensively from the Ksuvis. In theory, the Gimel Averos do not have to be a package deal. Right? One can distinguish between them. And the one that stands out the most is, of course, Rotzeach. Because that's where the Gemara doesn't have a limud in Sanhedrin, Dafayin Dalet, but a svara. Right? My chazis, the damach, suma ktvei. So that's, you might say, that even if you were to say that Avodah Zarah and Gili Arayos have some notion of onus, maybe the Chil Hashem is the Mechayiv, that's why it's Yehari Vayavar, but not because it's considered to be a Maisaf of Ishu Ba'onis. When it comes to Rotzeach, that's Mufka maybe Pturonis. That kind of Yehari Vayavar, based on pure Svara. No excuses whatsoever. So that's number one, we could say, Rava holds, that... and then try to link up Abai and Rava there with maybe with Abai and Rava, Ba'oved, Me'avo, Me'ira. We're not going to do that now, but the Gemara later on, the Ayin Beis on the base, and the Gemara, parallel Gemara in Sanhedrin, Sanach Beis, right, Ha'oved, Me'avo, Me'ira, Machok is going to Abai and Rava, whether you're Chayev or Potter. So, number one is Shotzeach, one of the Gimel Averos. Here we're talking about Shabbos. Number two, it's Shotzeach of all the Gimel Averos. It's the one most likely not to be a mufka idei ones. And then, of course, number three, which is not completely disconnected to what we just said, what we noted yesterday. Who mentioned it yesterday? Who mentioned it? Jeremy? About Rotzeach? Namely? The difference between Shimios and Tzichlios. There's a difference in... That could also be an important difference in Omer Mutter, generally. Namely, one could say some third point for Rashi, and that is that when you have Shabbos, or even about a Zara for that matter, that's certainly Chelev and Dam, so if a person is Omer Mutter, so for him these things don't exist. So to say that his halachic ignorance dictates whether or not he's, from his own perspective, is doing a Maisadera is an open question. In other words, an onus is mafkia, that maisa or not. But when it comes to rotzeach, right, and one could argue, some extreme brisker formulations aside, that that rotzeach is rotzeach, and of course the halacha also weighed in. And, told you just how bad it is, and added snofech mishallah. But even without, even without Torah, that's the idea of the Rishonim, the distinction between Shimios and Sichlios. Maybe we wouldn't know every prat. Maybe we would, brothers, I always pronounce it improperly. Brothers Kamazarov? Karamazov. Okay, Dostoevsky, it's not my, you have to read it in the original to know how to pronounce it. Okay, so, in other words, in terms of justifications of murder and so on, I mean, the details are something which the halacha weighs in on, and then the question of, the relative value of life and so on, but if you're talking about absent any halacha, is there still something called rotseach, ritzicha, which is a crime? Right? Presumably, the answer is yes. So even though we're talking about his halachic onesh, the point is, even if you were to say tinuk shenishba generally is anus, he's anus in a halachic construct, and he's omer mutter. But to say that he's anus, as opposed to simply being shogeg, in an objective construct, which also has halachic nuances, is quite different. That's what you were suggesting. So it could be that Rava says this is karov lemezid, because even from his own perspective, there is an act, there is something called ritzicha. He may think ritzicha is mutter, al pi Torah, but it's not that lack of knowledge dictates it's not ritzicha, it's exercise or some other terrible euphemism. Okay. So for various reasons, we could explain that according to Rashi, Rava in Rotseach is unique. Like Abaya, then there's no reason really to distinguish between the criterion of Shogeg in Golos and the criterion of Shogeg in Karba, perhaps. Okay. Of course, you still have to raise a second question, and that is, if you think that Onus, according to some, receive a karban, let's say according to Rav Shmuel. So will they say that it receives galus too? That I think is less clear. But if we would make the distinction according to Rav Shmuel, the distinction would be based on something else, not on a different definition of shogeg and ones, but on the idea that karban maybe is kapara. Right? And galus is not. Galus is a kind of an onesh. So if there would be a distinction, it would be based on that consideration. But certainly according to Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, there's no reason not to align the sugyas. Bali Tosis, on the other hand, yeah.
Rav
Yochanan
says that
galus is a form of kapara. Yeah, there are lots of gemaras. I have to. It definitely has an element of kapara, no question. But is it primarily kapara? You get kapara of the galus. The question is that the mechayev? If there's no onish component, would you still have galus just l'shem kapara? That seems less likely. On the other hand, according to Bali Tosis, who say that onus or tunik shenishba is not onus, and it's just a question of kote can't be a kote l'inyan karban cannot be without yedia. So then the question of Rava and Abaye, which is what motivates Bali Tosis in part anyway, establishes that Golos and Karban are two different categories. In the Rishonim, that is expressed in different ways. Yeah, do you have something else? Question? Bali Tosis themselves all over, Yonah say, what's the difference between Karban and
Shkarban?
Shkogos tuva ksibbe. And we just don't know what that means. Is that a salimud, a gili milsa? Perhaps. And the ritva, Ellie? And the ritva that we mentioned the other day. What? Okay, you sit too close together. Okay. The gomor is opposed to kolshu. Okay. And as I mentioned yesterday, gomor is opposed to kolshu. Could be explained in two ways, I think. Either, again, you need a pure shgaga for the mechayev of galus requires shgaga, pure shgaga, classic, quintessential shgaga, as opposed to karban, which allows for the range of shgaga. Or another way to put it would be that chiyuv karban is anything but mezid and ones. You don't need shgaga at all, really. As long as it's not mezid for its reasons, it's not onus for its reasons, you're chayev. Whereas galus requires shkaga. That's two different formulations. I don't think there's much of a difference between them. But the question that the Bali Tosas do not address, Eli Asadal, is why it should be so. Meaning, in Achanami, there's a different definition of shkag, which I don't have to say for Rashi, but why should it be so? Why should, in one case, it be shkagos tuva or shkagos kol shehu, and in the other case, it should be, anything but mezid and onus, and when it comes to galus, it should be more specific, pure, classic, quintessential shkag. That they don't explain. But it's very possible that the difference between galus and karbanos, in terms of the role of mechaper or onesh, they have a lot to do with this in either direction. But the question of there's no question that a chatas is mechaper. There's no question that galus is mechaper. The question is about each of them separately: how much onesh, how much kapara. And in theory, one could argue in either direction. So it could be that question gufa will determine whether you need pure shkaga or anything but mezid va'onas is fine. What role we're playing. Okay. More to the point, that may affect the sharper distinction of the Ramban, okay, which is Dani. Now, the Bali Tosis is a distinction, and the Ritva's distinction is at least, you know, Sada. Yoni? In one, it's in the Chet, and in the other, it's in the Ma'aseh. That's the Ramban's Diyuk based on Psukim. Again, it's one of those really classic lines of Rishonim where they're Bedayik from the Torah Shebichsav, and they derive a halacha of Torah Shebichsav. Again, it's a reconstruction. It's not a fabrication. It's trying to fit it into the evidence, but it's still very fascinating. So the Ramban says there's a difference between Shigigas Chet and Shigigas Maisa. Galus depends on Shigigas Maisa, and Karban depends on Shigigas Chet. Okay. But again, the Ramban doesn't say why it should be so. But certainly, if there's a difference in the role of kapara versus onesh between one and the other, this might be a consequence. Are we interested in defining the shkaga by the maisa? Are we interested in defining the shkaga by the chet? Now, as I say, the Ramban in the end rejects this because he has a hard time figuring out shitas rava. I'm sorry, figure out Shita Sabaya. He says if Shigas Chet is Kobeya, so then we could understand, you know, why this would be an Onus. But if Shigas Maisa is Kobeya, then how could you say Onus? Okay. And for that reason, he rejects it. As the inner of Hirschler's Ramban, he just notes on the bottom, he says, well, I don't really have to have trouble with this. If you want to save this idea for Rashi, Rashi will just tell you that Abaya never said Karov Laones. Abaya said Ones. That's number one. But I mentioned yesterday a possibility that you know, we could understand Abaya Dafka because of this consideration, but I think it's a speculative svara. The question whether you look at the totality of the process from what brought you to the point of the Avera, namely your lack of knowledge or ignorance, including the Avera and so on. In other words, you look at the total process from beginning to end, or you only zero in on the moment of the Avera, in which case you're much more mazed and you're also much more onus. In other words, you're much more mazed because you know exactly what you're doing, and that's all we care about. On the other hand, if we don't care about why it is that you think this is permissible, we just zero in on the fact that you think that this is permissible, then the gap between, you know, what we consider to be reasonable behavior and your behavior in one way is even greater. I'm not sure whether that's enough to explain this, but either way. In any case, the Ramban himself rejects this idea, but it could be maintained. As our first notes, it certainly could be maintained, and based on the Svara, perhaps it could also be maintained. The question is, again, like the Bali Tosas, does the distinction between galus and karban, which is now much more acute in the words of the Ramban, does it reflect something more basic about the roles of kapara and onesh? Perhaps it reflects something even beyond that. So I recall seeing many years ago that I think a number of achronim say this. I recall seeing it in Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky's Tosefta, Chazon Yecheskel, that he makes the following. I don't remember if he says it for the Ramban or not, but in discussing the question of Omer Mutter, so I think he says the following. When it comes to korbanos, the mechayev is the shkaga hamivia oso lidechi of korban. The shkaga hamivia oso lidei maisa veira. When it comes to golus of rotzeach, the mechayev is not what brings you to that point, but the maisa itself. Now, of course, this is an issue that we've been tracking throughout our discussion of Chataos and Shkagos. It's not so simple in Shkagos, and it's probably not so simple in Golos either. But in Shkagos itself, we've seen, in the Rishonim, in the Achronim, that there is this huge discussion, right? In terms of Chilukei Chataos, is it Mispar Shkagos or Mispar Maisa Veiros, and so on and so forth. So the question of whether or not Shkagos and Karbanos are created by mistakes that bring you there, intellectual or physical mistakes, or the maisa vera caused by the mistake, is a huge issue. We know that that is a concrete question. A clear machlokas, different perspectives in the Gemara, and the Rishonim, and the Achronim, and so on. So what he's suggesting is, that gufa is the difference between karbanos and galos. When it comes to galos, we don't care about the shkaga shenevia oscha, L'maisaver. We're just in the Maisaver, Shanasa B'shogeg. If this Maisaver was Nasa B'zodon, you'd be chayav the death penalty. And if it's a Maisaver, Shanasa B'shogeg, then this Maisaver is Machayav you, Golos. That might also work a little better with a perspective of Onesh than Kapara, but not necessarily. It's a different point, slightly different point. If that's true, so he argues, so if that's the case, then it's possible to say that Omer Mutter is not Onus. Because we don't really care so much why you're doing what you're doing as much as that you're doing it. Again, the Maisa is the Mechayev. True, a Maisa B'shogeg. But a Maisa nonetheless. But when it comes to Karbanos, if the Mechayev is the Shkaga Shemeviya Oscha L'Maisa Vera, the mice, of course, is a precondition. If you have intellectual or identity errors and you don't do anything with them, then there's no problem. But if you did a mice of error because of your shkaga is the mechayiv, so then we might say, well, we care very much what the source of that error is. And here we make a distinction between halachic error. You really didn't have a chance when it came to this kind of shkaga, because you just don't have a background. So that's not shkaga shemeviya oscha lidei aveira sufficiently. Here we make the distinction between Omer Mutter and other shkagas. So I think when he said that, so he says, and there might be the following nafkamina. The Gemara at the end of Hazorek says that Simcha, Gemara at the end of Hazorek? Ellie? That's all you need? A machshava for? The Gemara at the end of Azorik, yeah. You need yidiya, you need shkaga rather, mitchila v'atzah. What will happen if you throw the object, and then in the middle, once you threw it already, you released it, all of a sudden you remember, this is asur, this is what's going to happen, and so on. Will you be chayav a korban in that case or not? Right, so that's the sugya requiring you a shkaga mitchila v'atza. So the question is, do you need shkaga mitchila v'atza only in karbanos? Or do you need shkaga mitchila v'atza also in galos? So this is something that the achronim discuss. So in general, the question is, what is the nature of that requirement of Shkogim and Tchilah Batzal. That's what I told you. If you had a chance to look at the discussion in the Kovet Shurim of Achanav Asamim, and it's in, did you find it in the end? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's in the Chelik Beis, I guess. I don't know the volume numbers, but the one with the Simanim in the end, he has some notes on Shavuos as well. So basically, he has the discussion there. Ephraim, what's the discussion?
About whether the same type of idea that
could you be mechalek?
Yes, whether yedias the fact that the ma'aseh that you're doing is usher is going to be mechalek between the shkogos.
Yeah, is the requirement of shkogos mitchilo v'yatsov an issue only in chiyuv karban, or does it also play a role in chiluk hatos? In other words, if he releases the object and then he remembers, he has a yediyah, but it's too late to do anything about it, will that split up the karbanos? Will it be considered a yediyah in that respect? It's certainly considered a yediyah to undermine the chiyuv karban, which requires shkaga mitchilo v'yatzov. So that's the discussion. It discusses Shitas Tosis and the Ramban, and he discusses, agav, some of the issues that we've been discussing, which is whether yediyah smachalkos has to do with the conditions for chiyuv karban, and what about yediyah lechatzi shir and so on, or it's about the splitting halamos or maisim and so on. But he points out that the halacha of shkaga mitchilo v'yatsov may be completely disconnected from the problem of halamos. In other words, if I throw something and after I release it, I remember, but it's too late to do anything about it. So from a halama point of view, it's the same halama, even though I now remember, because it's too late to do anything about it. It's still caused by the first halama. But as a mechayiv in karbanos is a requirement of yediyah mitchilo v'yatsov. That's really the argument that he tries to make. Okay. So having said that, so this is a question now about galus. So if the mechayiv of karbanos is misfar shkagos, or simply the halacha of shkaga. So again, this exerts a kasu that you need shkaga mitchilo v'yatsov is understandable as well. But this is what he makes a suggestion. But if we're talking about a situation where the maisa is mechayiv, so it's quite possible that when the maisa is mechayiv, then we just care about what happened earlier. It was a maisa nasa b'shkaga. It doesn't have to be, if in the middle of the maisa, all of a sudden there's no longer a shkaga, you know, does that make a difference? Basically, his argument is that onos rachmana patre, or something like that, I'm sorry, go ahead. But the victim as well. Well, I think that works in well with what Jeremy was saying before, which was this idea that Ritzicha is in the category, it's like Sichlios as opposed to Shimios, namely that there's an objective Maisavera, even quite separate from how much you know or don't know. I think that has to
be more than the Bezara.
Yeah, but I think that's true. I meant a mitzvah that is that stands outside of the legal, you know, religious component. Right. Maybe Sichlios and Shimios isn't the rational, revealed isn't the proper category here. Maybe it's ben adam lamakom, ben adam lachavero, something which would be more universal as opposed to more religious law. And then what you're saying about the victim is a good point. The distinction between tinok shenishba and or omer mutter would also work in the other direction. Where the mechayev is the maisa, so then a maisa of onas perhaps is lo shma maisa. But one can make the other argument to explain Rava and Abai, in other words. But in a situation where you have a mechayev of shkaga, so then the question of havalei lameda comes into play. So the point is that from either point of view, the role of Ones may be different if the Mechayev is the Maisa, Shadasa Bishkaga, as opposed to the Mechayev being the Shkaga, Shemivia Osa, Lemedlide Maisa. That could affect Ones in either direction. That could also affect the Halacha of Tchilasa Vesofo, Bishkaga. I also think it might affect one other Halacha. The Achronim have a suffix in Makos. As far as I know, they don't connect it to this. But whether the Halacha of Shev Midiyaso applies to Galus or not. Right, when it comes to Karbanos, as we know, we had already the little piece of the Gemara on the Samach Tesam and Aleph, and I gave you some Aram Kabbalists today to look into it a little more. And that is that the Shkaga has to be something that's Shev Midiyaso. In other words, if he would know about it, he would, if it's the kind of information that had he known about, he would have refrained from proceeding. So that kind of Shkaga is Chayav. But if he is Bishogeg, but even had he been benazed, he would have done it anyway. Right, lo shav midiyaso, knowledge wouldn't have separated him from the action. So then there's no chiyuv karba. Why that's so, we'll leave for now, but we'll get back to it. But that's the halacha. So as I recall, some of the achronim in Makos are mistapek whether the requirement of shev midiyaso applies to the shogeg, which is mechayev you galus, or not. So again, if we say that the distinction between them is not just a technical one, how do you define shogeg? Again, part of the summary shown in there's no distinction at all, as we just noted. Right? Certain views within Rashi, or if you take the Ritva and Ramban view that Omer Mutter and the Sugeder doesn't mean Tinov Shenishva, it means an Eskavein, La'arog, a behema, the nimtza ada. But according to a whole group of Rishonim, there really is no difference in criterion in general between the Rotzeach and Karbanos. They're all the same. If that's true, then they could be all the same in all the halachos. Perhaps. They don't have to be, but they could be. But if there is this distinction, so whether it's the distinction of Tosis and the Ritva, or the distinction of the Ramban, or this further distinction even, of the Maisa Vera as opposed to the Mechayev of Shkogos, the possibility will then exist that we don't care about motivation so much. In Ochanan, even if he had known about this, he would have done it anyway. So you can't say he's motivated by a Shkoga. If you're saying Shkoga Shemiviyaso Lidei Chiyuv, so in Ochanan it has to be Lo Shav Midiyaso. It has to be Shav Midiyaso. But if it's Maisa Vera Shanasa Bishogeg as opposed to Maisa Vera Shanasa Bizodon, then it's still Nasa Bishogeg. It may not have made a difference, but it's still Nasa Bishogeg, perhaps. So then you might say that just as the impact of Ones, or the definition of Ones might be different, just as Tchilasa Vesofa Bishkaga may be different, Shav Midiyaso may be enough Gemina as well. Now, in light of this, of course, one could go back and say, maybe that's what the Ramban had in mind. Why do we care about Shigigas Avera as opposed to Shigigas Hachet? You don't have to say that's what the Ramban meant. Maybe it's just a Xerza Kasuv, the different definitions of Chicago. There could be other reasons. But maybe because that's the point, that the Mechayev in Chicago, in Rotzeach, the Galus is the Maisa, not the Taos. And that also could explain, again, the question of, the quid, why do we, anything but mezid va'ones when it comes to karbanos. But here we need dafka shkaga, dafka, quintessential shkaga. That's the chiluk of the ritva and the bali tos. It could be that it's all connected to this single, to the single idea. Now, having said all of that, so it emerges various shitas, clearly. In addition to that, there are two other distinctions to consider. One is that Marik, having said what we just said about Omer Mutter in Rotzeach and in Karbanos, so we also said that maybe there's a difference between Gimel Averos and everything else, right, for various reasons, or Rotzeach and everything else, or Shabbos plus Gimel Averos and everything else. Those are the Pnei Yeshua's issues and Rava for Rashi. But by the same token, one could say that Again, where the Torah emphasizes the act per se, objectively, and not its implications to the Rabbanu Shalom, again, like Chaim's distinction and Jeremy's distinction between Ben Adam Lamakom, Ben Adam Lechavero. So again, Mal Abo Mal, as opposed to Mal Bashem Mal, that really is the idea, essentially, of accenting the interpersonal crime, nature of this particular crime, as opposed to the religious nature of the crime. That's the whole point. Omer Mutter, which is about halachic knowledge, is going to play a more central role when the Avera itself, as a construct, or at least as a Mechayiv, is more about the violation of religious law, the more it's about an act of betrayal that is objectively understood as an act of betrayal, or or a criminal act which is objectively understood. Then the question of Omer Mutter in terms of halachic knowledge is going to be less significant. In light of that, the Marik, emerges, I think, with a certain greater clarity. And the same kind of issue could be discussed with regard to Ha'adam Mishvua. We say Ha'adam Mishvua, Prat Lanus, Sugin in Shavuos, Rishonim discuss it in Shavuos and Narim and other places, that when it comes to the ischaibus of a shvua, right, there's a different standard of kavana and of what constitutes ones. The Ritva in particular, in a few places, formulates it this way. So it's quite possible that when the standard is ha'adam b'shvua, then the full issue of omer mutter is going to be different as well. Perhaps some of the other issues in addition. So that we'll have to look at independently. Okay, so much for the topic of Omer Mutter in terms of our treatment of it. I should just add that in the Tshuva of Reb Chaim Bivolozhin, one of the things he discusses is the parallel between what the Ramban says in Makos and the Marik's idea, and makes all sorts of suggestions how to make further distinctions within what he calls the debate between the Marik and the Rajba, and the idea of the Ramban as well. Okay. But what emerges basically is a large question whether there's a distinction between Galus and Korban, a question with regard to both of them, of the relationship between Kapara and Onesh and Maisa Veira and Shkoga HaMeviyasa Lidea Veira, as well as different levels of Omer Mutter, Tinek Shalishba, Omer Mutter even B'miktsasa, in the middle case, Omer Mutter B'kol Gufo, but not necessarily B'kol HaTorah, and possibly distinction between different areas of Halacha when it comes to some of these issues, whether it's the Marik or Adam Shvua, or Galus, or even things like Gimel Averos, or only Avodah Zarah, or only Ritzicha, or also Shabbat. So full range, really, of views emerge on some of these issues. Okay, I'll stop here. But tomorrow is Munvaz, Rabbi Yochanan, and Reish Lakish. Obviously, what we discussed today, which is how much, you know, halachic shkaga, how much false identification, that's one issue. The content of the Shkaga, Shigas Lav, Shigas Kares, Shigas Karban, Shigas Asei, that's the second part of the issue of how we define Shkagas. But it's quite possible that some of the issues that we discussed today, namely, is it Maisa Avera B'Shkaga? Is it Shkaga Shemiviyasa L'Dei Avera? Is it the Shkaga as it relates in particular to the Chiyuv of Korban or the Mechayiv of Korban? It's quite possible that the issues that we touched on today will be relevant for Munbaz or Yofar and Reish Lakish as well. So go through the Gemara, the Rishonim that we did, and move through as quickly as possible.